This is a production of Cornell University.
I'll go ahead and call the meeting to order. Hey, if you don't mind taking roll just by the regular screenshot method we've been doing. Can I get a motion to approve the minutes from last meeting?
Motion to approve.
All right. Tony, seconded by anybody? Hey, all right. And abstentions, additions, anything like that? Seeing none, and the minutes are approved by unanimous consent. So we've got some good stuff for this meeting. I would like to go ahead and get right into it, then we can move into open discussion later. So I will, at this time, just turn it over to Jessica with regards to the Elections Committee proposed 2020 elections, and then following that, the Membership Task Force. Jessica, thank you so much for all your hard work. I'm excited to go over our upcoming long-postponed elections plan. So with that, I'll turn it over to you.
I think we're excited, too. I think I can share my so I can't share my screen, but
Adam, you should be able to give permission for Jessica to share screen as a host.
Okay, just one second.
Basically, we're trying to fit it in elections in before the students are back on campus, because at that point, the assembly office is going to be busy taking care of all the student-based elections. So let me try again.
Nope, not yet. I'm not seeing it's not giving me any, I can make her a co-host. That's all I can see.
Let me see if I can do it.
If you make her a co-host, she should be able to share her screen.
I mean, I can do
if
that.
If you go to screen share, Adam, you should be able to do it under screen share, advanced options.
It's not giving me the option. I don't have the advanced options dialog box under screen share. I was looking for that too, yeah. Which is strange, because I should have it as a co-host. I don't know. Gina, I'll just go ahead and make her a co-host unless you have a problem with that, and then she can share.
Oh, I think I just did it.
Okay, cool.
Try it now, Jessica.
Yep.
Great. Thank you.
Okay, so should all be able to see. So this is the calendar we came up with. It's a little bit shorter than the spring elections originally were, mostly because it's all going to be online-based. It's going to be a lot less physical interaction, less interactions between people. So we tightened it up a bit, but if we can do this, we will be all set with our elections by the time the students are back, and we'll be able to have the first meeting in September will be the one where we vote on the executive committee and we switch, or we kind of hand off the reins to the new round of members. So pretty simple. Everything else pretty much remains the same. I want to remind you all of what seats are expiring, but first I just want to make sure, let anyone who's got questions or comments or concerns let you speak now.
The only thing I'll say is, and then Kate, I'll move to you. That, like Jessica said, the leadership election, which I call after the regular elections are concluded and the winners are announced, will be that following Wednesday, the 2nd. And essentially, I envision it being a hybrid meeting to where it will be our last meeting for those of us who will be moving on. We will adjourn that meeting, open it up for the leadership meeting, where the new members elect will vote on their leaders, vote on their UA representatives, and vote on the vote on committee chairs. And then, as soon as that's decided, the new members will all take their seats. So it's one seamless transition instead of spreading it out over multiple meetings. So that's my role in terms of the finalizing the election process. So similarly, if anybody has questions for me on that, you can ask me as well. Kate, you had your hand up?
My question, when I ran initially, we had to get signatures. I'm assuming that that's been replaced by just registering because we aren't going to be able to go around and get signatures on petitions. Is that correct?
I did talk about that with Gina and Wendy. I think it was before I went on vacation. Maybe one of them remembers. I think we were talking about maybe doing like a Qualtrics and having people.
Yeah, we're still working. There's broad-reaching implications for that since it'll apply to all of the elections that we do. We think we'll be able to do it with using Net ID authorization, CWebAuth in Qualtrics. But we're still trying to work out those nuances. But yes, that part of collecting the petition signatures will still happen. We're just not quite sure exactly how it will happen.
Okay, but if you're up for election and you register, then you'll tell us how to do it.
Yes.
Okay, thanks.
Thanks.
Any other questions, comments, feedback for Jessica or me on the leadership election?
Can I bring up a question?
Yeah, go ahead, Sonny.
I'm wondering, as this rolls out, we'll be marketing generally that the elections are coming up for the EA. And I'm wondering if we could not, during that process, kind of highlight or advertise or market what staff committee membership positions might be available so that at the same time we can solicit for members on the committees, non-EA members.
I like that idea. I just want to make sure people don't get confused on what they have to run for and be elected and what they just have to basically say they would like to, what committees they would like to join.
Yeah, I just throwing it out there. I mean, there's other avenues to pursue to accomplish that.
Oh, to kind of piggyback off that, Jessica, is there still going to be a liaison or what have you from the from Carrie and the Communications Committee with the Elections Promotional, the Elections Committee? If I remember right, what we were planning on before. So that although elections runs and administers everything, but so that Carrie can have a hand in promoting, there was going to be a liaison, I thought, so that your committees are communicating. Is that still happening or?
Well, yes.
TBB?
Yes. Probably it's just going to be Carrie and I working together, although I suppose I can double check with her. Originally, most of her committee members were up for re-election and or were really busy. So
yeah.
It may just be Carrie and I, but I can double check with her on that.
Okay, yeah, whatever works. I was just curious. Anyone else, questions, comments, concerns?
Okay, so I'm going to pull up, while you're thinking, I'm going to pull up the spreadsheet just as a reminder. Oh, boy. Of what seats are expiring. Whoop. So the yellow ones are the at-large representatives, which are not in the charter, so those seats are expiring. And then we have 19 seats above that are up for election. And we have, and that includes the new Cornell Tech seat. So just as a reminder, anyone who's not up for election is on the election committee. So, all right.
Looks good to me. Any questions, comments? Okay. Jessica, anything else on the, not spring, but late summer, fall elections plan?
I don't think so. it, like I said, it's basically the same as we had come up with in the spring. We've just pushed it off, and it will be less about in-person networking and more about everything being done virtually online.
It looks like, I'm sorry, it looks like Rob has a question. Rob?
Yeah, I just had a quick question, and I might have missed this, and I apologize. When will we know if there's anyone running for the seat in terms of, deciding whether we want to run and whether anyone else, if the seat's going to be open and no one's going to be running, just basically like if there's going to be an election for that seat sort of thing? I don't know.
Not having done an election before, I'm not sure. You might not know until the ballot comes out. I'm not sure. Gina or somebody with more experience?
Yeah, Jessica, if you could go back to your calendar, the first slide that you had shown. So where it says the registration period is through August 13th, and then campaigning starts the 14th. Essentially what will happen is anybody who's interested in running will have had to register by the 13th. Then we validate all the petition signatures to validate the candidates. So on the 14th, when we post who the candidates are, that's when you would know. But by that point, it's the candidacy is set, the slate is set. So you wouldn't know ahead of time if there were any seats open. Does that answer the question?
It does. Thank you very much.
Sure.
Thank you.
Karen, go ahead.
I may have missed this, but I thought at some point there was discussion about the maybe changing some of the seats, especially since the College of Business.
Yeah.
Has there discussion within the elections committee about that, and where does that stand? I wouldn't mind seeing that the graduate law and Johnson be sort of a different seat, maybe on its own a law seat, and then the College of Business a seat. But I know the College of Business encompasses Johnson and Hotel, I believe.
Right. So that's what the membership task force has been working on, and that's what I'm going to talk about next. However, we're not, unless Gina has magic that I don't know about, we're not going to have that all approved because it's a charter change. It's not going to be approved for this election, but hopefully everything will go through and be set to go for the spring 2021 elections.
And I have no magic. So.
Okay. nothing magically happened while I was on vacation. A lot of work was done, but we're not to the point where we're ready to bring the resolution to the.
Right. Yeah. There would have been, in order for these elections to happen in the timeline that the elections committee wanted, a resolution would have had to have been passed from the task force to the assembly for discussion. And there just wasn't enough time just to get it all done with the president's approval in order to have an election well before probably the middle of October. So as I understand it, the elections committee and the task force both said, let's keep moving with that to give the assembly plenty of time to make, to consider all the things that we're talking about and implement that in the spring.
And that's always the linchpin of charter changes, because they require the president's approval. We have to wait for her approval, and that's what can extend that timeline. Okay, any other questions? Tony?
Yes, I would just like to acknowledge Jessica and her team for the incredible amount of work and effort that they put into this. It's a lot, and I certainly appreciate it. So.
Thank you. We've had lots of help and a great team.
Yes, I second that. It is a lot of work and a great effort, especially during these crazy times. So thank you all for all of your efforts. And I'll be saying the same thing again here in a second about the elections or the membership task force, which I'm assuming you're going to move on to on that front.
Yeah, I think so. I think I'm presenting for both, but if someone else is, please just speak up. All right, so the membership task force was set up. You all approved us working on this back when we postponed the elections, and we had to report back to you by mid-July. This is a list of the task force members. Most of us you know, Andrea, Ashley, Brian, Jamie. Brian is our at-large representative because we needed one of those. Jamie, myself, and then we have J. Francis White and Meredith Collins, who were the two non-EA staff members who joined us, and they were very helpful. It was great to have outside perspective, sometimes just because it made us explain things more carefully. this is our goal. We were looking to realign seats to match the current organizational structure. So some of the things we looked at were the hotel, school, and the College of Business question that Karen just brought up, because there's a hotel school seat and a separate Johnson School seat, but there's now the Johnson College of Business that includes both of them plus the Dyson School. Also, Cornell started a School of Public Policy. Based on conversations we all had at earlier EA meetings, it was apparent that the at-large seats were really, people felt very strongly about them and wanted to keep them and use them as a way to, I don't want to say take advantage, but build on the excitement and energy of people who had run for positions and did not get elected. We also looked at some non-directly represented staff that had just been missed over the years, and there you see a list of some of them that were brought to our attention. And we also had recommendations for a long-term seat to align with the less than five-year employee seat. We also were reviewing the retiree seat, which basically all that info came to us from our two retirees, Sue and Herf, and work with Michelle Arteby. Basically, they just gave us all the documentation they had. And their only big question was whether or not the person selected by HR should be voted on by the employee assembly or just added to the employee assembly. We also looked at term lengths. That was something we discussed. I don't remember exactly how that started, but the idea was that with a two-year term, you basically spend your first year trying to figure out what you're doing and how everything works, and then you only have 1 year to work on things that you really care about and you feel like you know what you're doing. So we wondered if it would be better to have longer terms, which would also allow for more experience on the EA. You wouldn't have half of the body turning over every year. So we went over our current charter and our other guiding documents. We looked at the university organizational structure. Actually, Ashley did most of that, thank God, because that was there are a lot of org charts. We looked at other Cornell Assembly membership structures and terms. We also looked at staff representation at other institutions. We researched past resolutions based on the seats and membership. And when we were looking at ideal term length, we also looked at past elections, but that data is not there. There's no data that says, this person only ran once and never ran again, implying that perhaps they burnt out in 2 years. There was nothing like that. But we did look into it. We also looked at the target range for group size so that we were aiming at a size that is representative but is also able to work and make decisions and be effective. So our recommendations, and this is where we would really like to get thoughts and opinions and feedback. We do have a resolution that we're drafting, but it is not ready. So if you've got feedback now, or you want to email me feedback, or any one of us actually, that will be helpful as we finish drafting up the resolution. So we're recommending that the hotel school seat be transformed into a SC Johnson College of Business seat, which would represent hotel school, Johnson School, Dyson, as well as any staff that are directly employed by the College of Business. We also decided to roll all those small unrepresented, I assume they're small, I'm not really sure, all those central departments that did not have direct representation into the university relations seat, as well as the School of Continuing Ed. Our thinking, and anyone else can explain this more if they would like, but our thinking was we were looking at job duties as well as who departments rolled up to. So eventually everyone rolls up to Martha Pollack, but, you know, on the way up, where do they align? Where do these departments come together? We did decide to recommend that the EA hold an official vote on the retiree seat recommend nominees. We felt that that would give authority to the seat, and the retiree members that we have right now also felt it would affirm their credibility, and they would feel more like part of the membership if they had been accepted officially. We are suggesting creating 5 new seats. So this would bring us up to 35 in total. A 20-year seat for the long term, a BIPOC at-large seat, and then 3 general at-large seats to accommodate the overflow of interest. They would basically be like any other seats. They'll be divvied up so that they're not all expiring in the same year like they are this time around. And they can be filled with people who ran but did not get elected. We also talked about possibly people, as staff members realize they are not, they don't have direct representation, then they could possibly run for an at-large seat, just a general at-large seat. So, thoughts, feedback, anyone else on the committee want to say anything? Add anything?
I just wanted to jump in real quick, Jessica. This is Ashley. For some of those additional areas that came to us that weren't represented, like ROTC, government relations, prison program, public engagement, university council, provost and vice provost office, judicial administrator, and ombudsman office, we looked at the number of staff that were in each of those areas, and it was a very, very small amount, which is why at the end of the day we decided to roll all those smaller areas under university relations, because even if you combine all those small areas together, it's still a very small portion of staff represented. So that was our thinking behind not actually creating a seat for all those areas, but instead just rolling it up to another seat in order to still have representation.
Thank you.
I have one, just an edit, that government relations is part of university relations. It's government and community relations. So as the UR rep currently, our government relations offices in Albany and in DC and our local office here are covered.
Okay.
A couple of them I wasn't sure, like public engagement, what is that? I'm confused about what unit that is. You mean the Office of Engagement Initiatives, or I'm just not clear what unit who we're talking about there, I guess.
Does anyone remember? I apologize. It's my first day back from vacation.
Okay.
Public engagement is a whole unit in and of itself, and I'd have to go back to the org chart to figure out where they roll up to.
Mm-hmm.
We had a hard time with that one too, but yeah. We were trying to follow the org charts as best we could, but that was one that stuck out to us too as to what exactly that was.
Yeah. Okay.
Ellen and then Karen.
Hello. Thank you guys so much for your work on this. I think everything is really clearly laid out and looks really good, and I support it all. But I did have a question. I wonder if you looked at all into the seat that is a combination of research division, IT services, and licensing, technology licensing. That seat has always been a little confusing to me because I am a member of the research division, and I have nothing to do with IT at all whatsoever. And IT is their own division that has nothing to do with research at all whatsoever. And both units comprise a very high population of employees. The research division has, I don't even know how many centers on campus, a lot, and a lot of employees, and CIT is enormous on its own. So I just wondered if you guys had looked into that seat at all, and maybe the possibility of splitting that in some way.
We did not. I'm making notes. I think we'll probably have to meet again as a task force and address.
Yeah, I mean, the research division has just been expanding so rapidly, and there's new centers that have been added within the last 2 years, and it's really growing a lot. And I think that would be a good thing to look into.
Okay. I've made a note. Thank you. Thank you, Ellen.
I'd second that as the person in that seat. There's a lot of people and a lot of town halls.
Karen, go ahead.
So you're going to pull the Johnson School out of the graduate law and Johnson School seat. So that leaves the graduate and law school as a seat?
Yes.
So maybe someone has a better way of communicating with the graduate seat or the graduate community, whatever, the graduate school community. Had a very difficult time communicating with that community outside of, there's just no listserv for that. I don't know who, outside of the dean of the graduate school, they're pretty spread out across campus. So my question would be is wouldn't the graduate school employees or, staff be represented in other areas?
We didn't look into that. I guess
I can speak to that.
Thank you.
If I may. So the original model was based on the colleges themselves. And the graduate school is a college. And I think the model of involvement with, especially as with the GPSA, has been exceptionally positive and robust. If you haven't found partnership in colleagues in the grad school as that rep, certainly, if we can do anything to help put you in touch with people. I found that the vice deans are particularly accessible and really willing to and very engaged in making sure that the grad students have information that they need, and that the staff there have been equally involved. So two different sides of the coin, I guess. The original model was based on all of the colleges and the units and the affinity groups. I think to Ellen's point, things are evolving, and they certainly can evolve differently than the model that they were originally created on. But if the question is how to engage with your colleagues in the grad school, I can certainly be of help to put you in touch with people.
Okay, thanks.
Other questions, comments? I do want to say, I'll echo what others have said. I want to thank you all in the task force for all this work. There's always a continuous need to update the charter and take a look at these things so that we're representing people in the best and most effective way possible. So, again, with everything going on, it's a difficult but critical task. So thank you again for all of your hard work. And that's not the last word by any chance. I just wanted to mention that. Any questions, comments?
If not, I want to say something before we move on to the next agenda item.
I think you're welcome to go ahead. I don't see anybody seeking recognition.
If you do have thoughts, email them, feedback, send them along to us. I think we're going to have to meet again and talk about some of this feedback, and we still have to finish up the resolution. I do want to say we know things change on Cornell. The organization changes regularly. And so another thought behind the at-large seats was it allows flexibility so that the charter doesn't have to be readdressed every time Cornell comes up with a new school or a new department or a department gets huge. It just allows some flexibility and movement so that staff can feel represented without having to rewrite the charter every year or something. Last thing I want to say is just thanks to the task force. We met every week, and as you all know, work has been busy and strange, and life has been chaotic some days, and yet this task force, everyone met every week and did work, and they did work last week while I was out. Jamie led them, and it just really has been a great group to work with, so I appreciate that and thank them all.
Any other comments, questions, or concerns? All right. Seeing none, let's move on to, I'll do what we've been doing in past meetings since these summer meetings are somewhat different for us. Do any other committee chairs, would any of you like to give a report? I won't go down the line since no one's required to meet or anything right now. Any committee chair seeking recognition who would like to give a report, now is the time. Anybody? All right. Seeing none, I guess that would move us into open discussion. So I kind of want to kick things off by turning everyone's attention to the participants or outside viewers to our meeting today, which is markedly lower than what we've had in the past, or the recent past. And the other reason I wanted to bring up last week's incident with the Zoom bombing was because I think it's an important thing to bring up during open discussion where we can have a good conversation about it. This is the sort of impact that we're – this is the trade-off to meeting security, unfortunately, is that we've lost apparently a lot of our outside people who were before viewing us. But I do want to mention thank you to Gina and Wendy for setting up a more secure meeting for us and doing it in such quick order. There's a lot to unpack with what happened at our last meeting. I think that it was the shock, at least for me, came afterwards. Obviously, we all in unison strongly condemn any hatred, bigotry, and disruptions of our meeting under those flags of racism and whatnot. It's disturbing, but hopefully everything like this that happens can bring about somewhat of an opportunity for us to show resiliency and unity. And I hope that you all have been able to sort of unpack what happened last week, as I still personally am. I want to thank Hey for her statements and for taking the lead on some of the responses to the Zoom bombing and the incident that occurred. But that's really what I wanted to open up open discussion with is comments, questions, your feelings on the incident, anything of that nature, and your ideas on how we move forward and how we react in the best way possible. So we're now in open discussion, by the way. Brian?
So, like everyone else, I was totally shocked. Thank you for updating the security. I almost couldn't get in the meeting myself, I guess. It was bouncing me all over the place, but I was shocked at last week as well. The image I can't get out of my head since last week was Hey Hey's expression and trying to communicate to leave, and I couldn't get through to her. And because we were being bombarded and all sorts of stuff, it's really sad that that's happening in the world today. And I was appalled, and I really felt bad for the few that were trying to figure out what was going on. I did my best to text saying we're being Zoom bombed, leave, but it was difficult. I couldn't believe it myself that they could take over so much backgrounds and everything else. I don't know. It's beyond my technological advances, I can tell you that. But I was appalled, and I thank Hey Hey for taking the lead on that and everyone else that supported her.
I will say that I think that this is kind of a parallel track to the discussion of the Zoom bombing. You know, our role in the staff forums and a lot of the other things we've done this year has and especially leading into elections has shown that the EA has an important role to fulfill with regards to supporting staff and moving the campus community forward. So under that, I would hope that any and all of you can share our new, more secure meeting details with whomever possible. You know, we aren't closed off to the rest of the staff community. So I would love to see those numbers re-increase, especially as we get into elections, because we are doing so much. All of you are doing so much for your peers and your colleagues, and I would just hate to see that opportunity missed if we can avoid missing it. So that's just, again, sort of a parallel comment. Anyone else on this or other topics? Kate, go ahead.
Perhaps once we have the things worked out and have a resolution, we could put something in the faculty and staff news, just giving a link to the resolution and updating folks on how to participate in the meetings, and with apologies if people have been trying to join, just as a way to, you know, I don't know if that's a way to reach out to folks to let them know and to share the information, but just an idea.
Yeah. Gina, did you? Okay. Yep.
Thanks. I appreciate opening up the conversation. Just one thing anecdotally, the number of people who have requested to be added to the info list, which are the folks that get the agenda, has increased significantly. So whether people are on vacation or just couldn't make today's meeting, I don't want today to be indicative of people shying away because of the Zoom bomb incident. I think your response and the engagement through the forums has been really, really well received, and just build on that. But I think we're over. You noted the number. I can't remember what it is, but just volumes of people have shown an interest in what the EA is doing. So congratulations on that.
Yeah, I think just to interject with some quick numbers, before the Zoom bomb, at its peak, our EA meeting, I think the most attended I'd seen had been about 75. When we look at the EA info list, our previous list had about 168 people. Now we have a little over 220 people. So we're seeing, you know, that people have taken more of an interest in the EA, and we're seeing a lot of participation in the staff forums. And anecdotally, a lot of people, I think, have been emailing and participating and being more engaged with the opportunities that we do send out. Adam?
Yeah, and just to parallel kind of what Kate said, we also have our EA newsletter coming up. In fact, Carrie just put something in the comments about a kind of a call for content. So we can put those listserv and meeting details in that as well, because that's an all-staff email. Wendy, did you have a comment I thought as well. Yep.
Yeah, I was just going to echo all of this. On the meeting details page, I'll actually give that to everyone so they have it. There's just, we're asking people, we're not posting anything publicly. We're asking people if they want to join to send the email. And like Gina said, we have gotten quite a few that have said, can you give me the link for this week's meeting? And so we've given them that link and then also directed them to the self-subscribe.
Great, thank you. Marcy and then Jamie.
Hi, I wasn't sure if this was mentioned earlier, but how many attended the last forum with the president? No?
I think it was about, Gina, you probably know off the top of your head better than I do. It was over...
Almost 2,000.
Almost 2,000, yeah. So still great numbers. I think our best... out of all the forums was 3,000 at one point, but 2,000 is still up there. So that tells you that people are still continuously engaged, which is, I think, an even better metric than just a one-shot deal during the height of the pandemic. I'm really encouraged by it. Jamie.
Yeah, I was just wondering if it would be possible to have like a CU WebAuth protected page that has the meeting link, like for each meeting, so that people who maybe haven't gotten the email or haven't signed up yet, they would still be able to find the information, but it would still be protected to the Cornell community, to the staff community.
So we worked with CIT to come up with the new protocols, and their advice was don't put anything publicly, even though we could put a CU WebAuth page. Rather, what we're doing is directing anybody, all of the information is there, but as Wendy said, if you want to attend it, all you have to do is then contact the office. We'll add you to the list, this info list, that then, you know, you'll get all this stuff directly. But we were advised pretty strongly to not put anything on our web pages that could otherwise compromise this. And we're, you know, at this point, I think we're probably very reactionary and exceptionally cautious, and we'd rather do that right now than have anything close to what happened before.
Yeah.
Thank you.
It's an unfortunate trade-off, and it's sad that we have to make it because we're by our nature an open group. It's just, that's one of the really disheartening things about this is that it forces us to pivot in a way that can get confusing for other people to join, but hopefully with everybody's support, we can gather more people back to these. Let's see, anyone else on this or any topic? This is open discussion time. So, and if not, I'll entertain a motion to adjourn. It's up to whatever's on everybody's mind. I'm seeing no requests for recognition. So seeing none, I think I can just request a motion to adjourn. Thank you to everybody, as always, for all your hard work. Jessica, thank you for your great work. Brian, are you seeking to be recognized or are you offering a motion?
Motion to adjourn.
Motion to adjourn by Brian, seconded by... Karen, is that you raising your hand? All right, everybody, have a great rest of your week. Hopefully we'll see you at the next forum, and take care.
This has been a production of Cornell University on the web at cornell.edu.